You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, and we got lots of basketball talk to talk about, but guys, one day away from spring ball, first off.
Oh, yeah.
24 hours. Can you believe it's finally here?
I cannot, and I'm ready. I hadn't thought about it once. This is the first time. I can't wait. This is where the fun lists get to be. First guy off the bus, first guy who jogs in versus walks in. I mean, you got all these things that you look for that first media window. The name Ian Ratliff is going to get a little mention, I think, early in spring practice. He's the starting punter right now for Texas. I mean, and in the open media window, what do you see, Bobby? You see punting and stretching and a few drills, right? I mean, with Michael Kern not on campus and Texas haven't made a decision on a punter out of the portal yet. I mean, look, this is where we're at spring practice, but it's going to be a blast. I couldn't be more excited. I think it's the most anticipated spring practice for Texas football in two decades. And I don't say that lightly, over the past decade, that is kind of lightly, but I think Art, you're going to see it's Quinn year three. He has a big day coming up on Wednesday, by the way, throwing up the UT Pro Day. It's the most fans are going to see Arch Manning, 17 early enrollees. I mean, that's a massive number of high school graduates in December. And some of those guys are going to be impactful. Then the portal guys, which Bobby's talked about, we've all talked about, Trey Moore, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, you go down the list, Nye Black. I mean, the largest influx of talent Texas has brought in midterm ever.
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 Yeah. Look, Jerry, you're as excited as I am. I can tell it in your voice. And I think Texas fans likely are similarly situated because, look, you mentioned a guy, the midtermers. And yes, there are going to be a ton of those, especially from the high school ranks. But you also mentioned two other guys. Trey Moore is one that I want to see for us, Jerry, when we're there tomorrow, is he a wow player? Like, is he somebody that just pops off the very first time you see him? You're like, oh, this guy's a little different. Or is he one of those guys that can be a great player, but he builds on you over time based on how he works? And I don't know that yet. You and I are going to find that out, I think, a little bit.
So my takeaway is he's not going to wow you physically because he's not the tallest guy at edge. He's not the longest arm. Like when Dallas Turner, when I went to St. Thomas Aquinas and you walked out on the field and saw Dallas Turner there or at the Under Armour camp or what have you, he wowed you because of his length with his frame in high school. You're like, whoa, this guy has got a real chance if he puts it together. I don't think he's going to wow you like that because he's 6'2 and a change, 235. He doesn't have the longest arms in the world. I think once any movement stuff starts happening and you see his twitch in full color, you're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, though. Those kind of moments where you understand whether or not he's a freak of nature or if he's just a great football player kind of thing is a difference. And then, you know, talking about not just the high school guys going, but also the guys that are the midtermers from the portal. But let's be real. I mean, it's also the first time to go watch Arch Manning at length with the twos. Like last year, the media guys did not get to see Arch Manning a lot solely with the twos.
Right.
We saw him take half the reps with the twos, and early in spring and fall practice, we didn't see much of any with him with the twos. He was with the threes. So he was handing off to the walk-on running back, Jarrett Smith, a lot of times because Cedric Baxter and those guys at that time hadn't even moved up the roster, Jerry. Yeah. So this will be the first time for us to really, really get a chance to see Arch Manning in extended work. And I know that it's only going to be during a media window, but as you move up the ladder, you see more guys, and then we're going to be able to see guys like Derek Williams and Anthony Hill, who had a great freshman season. What do they look like as sophomores?
Well, to your point, Bobby, Anthony Hill, 243 pounds. That's going to be pretty impressive based on what he looked like coming out of high school and at 234. And the one of my big questions is Savion Redd going to be on the team bus, or is he actually going to be a tank rolling up for practice? If you're 5'10", 235, 240, I mean, that's a lot to pack on to 5'10".
Jerry, I don't know if you were going to be,
you know, they wouldn't fit on the screen.
Jerry, I had reports, and I put them on here and on TexasFootball.com and mentioned them, that I had Savion Redd. It's 5'10", 230. And everybody was like, whoa, he's 230? And then they come out with the official roster 2 weeks later, and he's 240. I mean, that's a big cat now. Let's see how that goes. But look, just so many questions, so many different things you want to see out of these guys. How is Quinn connecting early with these receivers? How do the receivers really look? I mean, look, you can say what you want. Oh, Isaiah Bond's going to be a draft pick. Matthew Golden's really good. They may not have a number two as good as Adonai Mitchell.
Right.
I mean, number one, maybe in the similar vein is Xavier Worthy, we think, but they may not have two this year because both of those guys are going to be, you know, first, second round picks. So I think all of those things, but at the same time, they may have five receivers instead of really just three, right? Plus another tight end that can run down the field. So just a lot of things that you can think about and talk about as well. I'm impressed, as you know what, with what Texas has built from a roster perspective, Jerry. But I'm telling you guys, this will be a big month for Texas. They're starting spring ball here, I guess, on the 19th. They'll finish on April 20th with the spring game. So it's a straight month of football for the Longhorns. And it's more condensed than years past. Years past, they had started this stuff before spring break.
Right.
And kind of spread it out. They've made it more condensed. Steve Sarkisian making that decision to do that and switch it up this year. So we'll see how it goes. Should be more news flowing, more information, that sort of stuff during this time of year.
By the way, we had somebody checking in from Iowa that picked Sadir Mitchell as their breakout player. That would be nice, by the way. That would be like probably the best thing you could hear coming out of spring practice. That Sadir Mitchell's a different player. And that he's got a chance to be a real impactful player for Texas in 2024. That might be the best news anybody could hear out of spring training. And my other thing is, this is the year Kyle Flood's been waiting for. This is when his 2022 class is truly all grown up. You're going to have up to four of those guys starting this year. Up to three for sure, five probably getting playing time. Four of those guys could be starters. See how the competition shakes out, right? But this is a grown-up offensive line. Uber experienced at center with Jake Majors, right? Hayden Connor's played a lot of football. Kelvin Banks is his third and final year as a Longhorn, so appreciate that one. Then Cam Williams, DJ Campbell in year two. Cam in year three in the program, but really going to be year one playing a lot of football. But this is what he's been waiting for. This class was recruited. And it changed. This is what changed to me. It started that change for Texas football because the offensive line had to make a big, big step up. And they did that in that 22 class. And this is the year they've been waiting for with these guys. Because if they're as good as you thought they would be, you're going to have one guy for sure going pro. Another guy or two may have a decision to make. But you're going to have massive game momentum type of play from these guys. And they're going to look like NFL players. And it's big. This is what Kyle Flood's been waiting on.
Yeah, and not just Kyle Flood, me, you, every Longhorn fan out there has kind of been waiting on it, right? Before we go further, we got to talk a little recruiting. There's a combine down in Houston this weekend. There's also some other stuff going on as far as basketball is concerned, both teams getting put into the tourney. But before we do that, we want to say thank you to our Monday morning sponsor. That's John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John has served more than 15 years as a Texas Exes board member and as a certified financial planner who has spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. So it's John's long history and love of UT that explain why he has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, family, and friends. Longhorn Wealth wants to wish the best of luck to both our men's and women's basketball teams as they prepare to enter their respective NCAA tournaments this week. And we hope they both advance as far as possible in their respective brackets. Speaking of advancing, Longhorn Wealth wants to offer you a free 90-minute consultation to all to help you advance your own future financial success. So please call John Donovan and his team at Longhorn Wealth at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation to explore how they can help you achieve true financial independence. He mentions the women's brackets and men's brackets. How about the women, Jerry? We're going to talk a lot about the men, but the women get a one seed, Blake. They get a one seed, and the first two games are at the Moody.
Yep.
So they get to host Drexel in the round of 16 and then possibly play the winner of Alabama, Florida State at Moody. That's a heck of a deal for Vic Schaefer's team.
One of the best coaching jobs you'll ever see on the 40 acres, in my opinion. I mean, if just think about had Rick Barnes lost TJ Ford to an ACL his sophomore year at Texas, just think about how much that would have changed the Texas 2002-03 basketball season. They wouldn't have been a one seed. They wouldn't have gone to the Final Four. Vic Schaefer, the fact that she goes down at 12-0, and I'm not saying they could beat South Carolina. South Carolina is very good, right? But when she goes down at 12-0, they literally did lose their TJ Ford. She was that player for Texas women's basketball under Vic Schaefer. And Madison Booker is a freak player. She's going to be a top three pick in the WNBA draft, and that she's been able to kind of run the team and take over. And her game, if you haven't watched her, she's truly an elite basketball talent. And like I said, the biggest compliment I can give her is she plays a guy's game in the women's game. She's physical on contact. She's got that NBA game after contact. Very, very impressive player. But the fact that Vic, everything they had to overcome to win the Big 12 tournament championship and get a number one seed, it's incredible to me what he's done. It's as good a coaching job as you'll ever see on the 40 acres. Just go ahead and take your star player, your quarterback, your point guard, and knock him out for the rest of the season, a third of the way through the season. I mean, Vince Young out after a third of the season. I know it's not the same, but it's kind of the same for the team.
I think Vic Schaefer's a tremendous coach. He knows what it takes to win and win big. Yep. He has been a really good addition to the coaching staff. Chris Del Conte hiring him away from Mississippi State, which had been one of the better teams in women's college basketball. Jerry, what about and Blake? What about the men out in the Midwest region? They're headed to Charlotte, which somehow gets played in the Midwest region, which makes very little sense to me. Explain that, Jerry, if you would.
Yeah, so Texas is – we've had some comments here. Getting off the 8-9 seed is huge. I think, even though Purdue's very beatable and they're not going to win a national title, they're not going to go to the Final Four, and Zach Edey's the most overhyped college player of all time, still, you didn't want to get unlucky and be the 8-9 and have to play UConn. You did not want that game if you're Texas. That's a bad matchup. On the surface, Purdue's a bad matchup. We'll see. Somebody's going to knock them out, I suspect, if Edey doesn't get every call. But so Texas is going to the 7 seed. That's big because, look, you didn't get stuck with having a UConn bracket. So where you're like, oh, my gosh, like, it's like not a good matchup. Texas, like Rick Pitino jokingly said before he played UConn, he said, we need 6 players to get COVID. I mean, that's kind of what he said before St. John's played UConn. Bad matchup for Texas. So you get off that 8-9 line, right? So that possibility's out the window. Texas had a 7 seed resume if you looked at the metrics. I mean, they were in the top 30 the last 2 weeks of the NCAA net. So all their metrics, whether you look at Ken Pomeroy, Bart Torvik, all the guys that have the rankings, Texas's metrics were all a 7 seed. I thought before the K-State loss, they had a good chance to be a 7 seed. We were talking about it on TexasFootball.com. But after the K-State loss, I just didn't think it would happen. So I was pleasantly surprised for Texas. They'll play the winner of Colorado State and Virginia. That's the play-in game in Dayton, Ohio, Tuesday. Those teams will play Tuesday, quick turnaround, fly to Charlotte, play Texas at 5:50 p.m. Central, I believe. That is Central time on Thursday. That's a contrast in styles. Virginia under Tony Bennett, national champion coach. It's kind of struggled since that point in time. They play the slowest possessions per game in college basketball, and they always have under him. Or they've been right around there. Him and Kelvin Sampson are most successful coaches that play low possession basketball in college basketball. So that's an interesting matchup for Texas because I don't think Virginia's a high-end team, but they did go 13-7 in the ACC. We'll see if that speaks for the ACC after Carolina and Duke in this tournament. But that if Virginia slows down Texas and Texas doesn't shoot the three well, that becomes a real danger zone type of game. Colorado State, I think because that's in Charlotte, that's not a Virginia home game. That is going to be a Tennessee home game. I mean, I think I like the matchup of Colorado State better for Texas. I think Colorado State's guard, the kid from Allen, Texas, that won a state title at Allen, is better than any guard Virginia has. But I still like that matchup better. I think that game fits Texas style more to where if you get caught on an off night shooting, you're not in this slow down game where you get tight because you know you're not having many possessions if Virginia controls the tempo. So I like Colorado State better for Texas just from that standpoint, and it wouldn't be a Virginia home game in Charlotte. But how that game ends up in Charlotte, Bobby, I mean, I don't have the answer to that. I do know that Tennessee will be a heavy favorite, and they'll have it's home games for Tennessee there. That's for sure. So I would love to see a Rick Barnes versus Rodney Terry in Texas matchup. I think that had a lot of intrigue. I'm not sure any coach would call a timeout, right, Jay Watts? But I mean, I think every coach may leave the game with all their timeouts in the pocket. But that would be fun for Texas fans and Tennessee fans.
Oh man, we got a couple of questions. Basketball questions regarding the tournament, obviously, and I'm going to just go ahead and pick a couple of those. Going back to the women's first, Champ Bailey 3 says, does Rory come back next or is she gone next year?
I think she comes back. I don't think she's got anywhere to go. I think she's definitely back, and I think that, you know, where Vic, you know, we talk about culture with Steve Sarkisian all the time, and I think sometimes that term's overused a little bit in sports, but it does have true meaning as well. I think Vic's got it, man. I think he's got it. Look at the way and how engaged Rory's been with her team. That's a sign of a leader and somebody who wants to come back and be a champion.
I was going to say that, Jerry. It's not just Vic. It's also her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think she's a competitor. She was a spark plug when she's on the floor. When you were talking earlier about, you know, what they lost in her, they lost the spark plug to their engine. It wasn't just, she was the one that made them go, Jerry.
Yeah.
And that's why I was nodding my head when you were talking about that earlier. It's So, and she probably will play in the WNBA, but she also needs a healthy season before she goes back there.
Yeah.
And tries to do that. That's my opinion.
And then one other one, guys, regarding the women's team from David Williams. He says, Jerry, what do you think Madison Booker's best position at Texas would be if Rory was healthy and playing the point?
She's a tremendous 3-2, whatever you want to call it, 2-3 college wing player. That initiates offense, and you can run offense through from the wing. That's what was, to me, you know, and I don't watch every Texas women's game. I'm the first to say that. But as I started following them a little bit, I watched the UConn. I said, ooh, okay, Vic can run offense from different spots on the floor with Rory Harmon and Madison Booker. You become a very tough team to guard off the bounce, off the dribble. You can force a lot of rotations that the opponent doesn't really want to have to make in scramble mode with two players like that. So where that was headed was kind of like, oh, okay, this team offensively has got a chance to challenge at South Carolina defensively and LSU. People like, dude, Iowa would have very difficult time guarding a Texas, right? But so I think that's what Madison Booker is at her strength is she's a all a future first team All-American college wing player that you can run an offense through and that she can create for others, truly create for others, almost like a point forward, point wing, which there are very few of those legitimately in the game. Yeah, she's a rare talent. I mean, Vic did an amazing job evaluating her out of high school because, look, she wasn't the top ranked senior in the country. Out of that class, she was ranked like 8 or 9. I think 9. ESPN had her 9, and she's clearly top 3, if not the one.
Yeah, I will say this. I guess I'm thinking that she is the one. because I look, Jerry said it best. It's not that I think point forward is the one that I think she's really good at. How does she mix with Rory Harmon is a good question because they didn't. She hadn't. Madison Booker had not asserted herself yet. Until Rory Harmon really went out of the lineup. Didn't mean Madison Booker was a good player. She was. But when Rory Harmon went out of the lineup, she took the team. You know what I mean by that? Now, they have supporting members. Don't get me wrong. It's a very talented team overall. But it's going to be interesting how they share the basketball. Because she likes to do a lot off the dribble, Jerry.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's typically what a point guard does. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes, the girl from Juju Watkins from USC is a beast. I went to the McDonald's game, which it's again in Houston this year. If you live in the Houston area, the McDonald's girls and guys game, I believe it's April 2nd in Houston at the Toyota Center. You buy a ticket, go to both back-to-back. Trey Johnson will be in it for Texas. I believe is it Jordan Lee, the Texas signee. I think she's in it. Texas may have two women in it. But Cooper Flagg's going to be in town, guys. So if you're a high school basketball fan, you follow recruiting, McDonald's game. But Juju Watkins watched her at the McDonald's women's game last year, and she is a freak. She's probably the number one talent over Madison Booker for sure. She was number one consensus everywhere. Will she be as good? Will Madison Booker eclipse her in some ways when they're both 25 years old? That's something I'm going to watch.
And speaking of women's recruits, Jerry, we've had a couple questions regarding this. Champ Bailey 3 says, do you know who the top school is for the young people at Lubbock? Talking about Alicia Chavez, the point guard out of Lubbock.
Yeah.
The number one player in the nation would be a huge get for Vic. You know anything about that?
She's unbelievable talent. I mean, and I'm not saying she's, Juju Watkins is massive, but they're kind of freaky. But the girl from Lubbock is as good a shooter as you'll ever see outside of names like Steph Curry. She made 187 threes this year in high school. That's an incredible number when everybody is gunning for you. I mean, she is an unbelievable shooter. It's not just volume. It's volume with percentage, right? Kim Mulkey, Vic Schaefer. I mean, you go down the list. All those college coaches went to Lubbock during the season to watch her play. That's not an easy trip during a season. She's extremely talented. Great shooter.
And then we'll jump over to the men's side, take a couple of those. Raw says, good morning from Wichita, Kansas. Y'all think Texas could be a top basketball team in the SEC next season?
That's a tougher one. It's just impossible to say. I mean, it depends on how the portal goes. I do think Texas has two future first-round picks in that recruiting class. Trey Johnson is a one-and-done first-round guy. I think Cam Scott's a two-year player that'll be a first-round pick. I think Texas has 2 6'5", 6'6", guards coming in that are first-round picks. They're also going to be freshmen in college basketball next year. But Texas hasn't had guards off the ball. You know, Texas has had TJ, DJ, Corey Joseph, right? They've had some tremendous first-round point guards, and Corey was more of a combo. They hadn't had 6'6", 6'5", guards off the ball like this. But you got to build it all around them. You know, how much does Kendall Weaver improve as a shooter? That's his big step. He can shoot it making shots in games, right? What are the two bigs look like out of the portal? One's got to have that interior presence with physicality, right? The other guy needs to be able to shoot it. You got to have floor spacing in the college game. What's the point guard position going to look like out of the portal? I think Trey Johnson, you can use him in the ball screen game. You can initiate some stuff with him. But you point guard in the portal is going to be big. That's what it's going to will determine a lot for me as far as the roster. Then it gets to putting that thing together and making it work and Rodney and that staff, their continued development in year two. Year one, okay. We talked about it last week. Okay, you got in the tournament. You're a 7 seed. You got the 20 wins. You need to win that first round game and give Tennessee all they want in the second round. But, you know, year one's, I would say, is okay. And just it's the bad losses that I think leave a lot the bad taste in the Texas fans' mouth this year.
Jerry, let me ask you this, okay? In the SEC, who are the teams that people even need to worry about? Like, and what I mean by that is it's obviously Kentucky, right, as one of the SEC teams. Alabama has been good of late with their coach.
Nate Oates, absolutely.
Okay. Obviously, Chris Beard's going to be competitive at Ole Miss. He may not be great this year, but he's going to be competitive. Any other teams that people kind of need to circle? Like, yeah. In the Big 12, you know it's Kansas, Baylor, right. Iowa State, typically a good team. Kansas, you know.
I'm a big Coach Golden fan at Florida. I think he's one of the better young coaches in the college game. He was on Bruce Pearl's staff at Auburn. Then he went out the West Coast, San Francisco. He's in year two, I believe, at Florida now. I've just liked what I've seen from him. I haven't watched all their games, obviously, but I think he does a good job. I think he's done a good job in the portal. I think he's done a good job putting pieces together on a roster. I think Florida is going to be pretty good with him as long as they have him. They're going to continue to – it might be moderate ascension because it's hard in the college game. They really ascend fast, I think, anymore because of the portal. But, look, he lost one of his best players to a fractured leg in the SEC championship game, but he got that team to the SEC championship. Tennessee, Kentucky, those guys weren't playing in it. Alabama, Florida lost to Auburn. Auburn is, well, as long as Bruce Pearl's there, is going to be really good too. They're kind of helter-skelter. Yeah. They're helter-skelter. It's a different style of play, but they're really good at what they do. But I think the guy at Florida's got a chance to kind of be the next Nate Oates that people are talking about, saying, okay, this guy's got a chance to have some lasting success in college basketball.
All right, guys, we'll do one more basketball question. I'm actually going to combine a couple of them into one for you, Jerry. Pinkman 90, is Tyrese Hunter the biggest X factor this week? And then Jeff C says Hunter is returning next season, right? And then I like this comment from Nate. I'd word it more like Hunter is the biggest variable, just can't get consistent. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, he is to me, he's the key. Everybody's going to say Asemus and Disu, they're going to play well. Does that mean Asemus is going 5 of 8 from three? No, not if you can hard hedge him to 30 feet and all his threes are from 25 feet out, right? But those guys are going to be good, okay? Tyrese Hunter has to show up. It feels like I'm ragging on the guy, but I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you know, you go 0 for 21 in three games against Kansas State, Iowa State, and Marquette. I mean, a player that started 105 games as a Big 12 freshman of the year, his freshman year at Iowa State, 0 for 21 combined in three. The highs are really high, and the lows are, I mean, as low as you'll see for a guy that's played that much and has been that much of a winner on winning teams. He's got to give Texas a consistent two games this week. He has to.
Yeah. All right, guys, before we move on and talk about something.
Now, by the way, answer that. I don't think he'll be back next year. If I'm proven wrong, I'll say I was wrong. I don't think so.
Well, Bobby, before we move on, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Factor.
Yeah, Factor is, it's one of those things that I didn't necessarily believe in until I started eating it. It's a meal replacement plan that actually allows you to eat healthy, but it tastes so good. I mean, it's legit. I'm having the chicken parm today. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. That's right. Just pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes. And these are really, really high quality meals. Absolutely delicious. Not only myself, but Blake and Jerry use it as well. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus. Even if you like to go keto, you can do that. There are also more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. You can have smoothies, all these things. They're 2 minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They also allow you to choose how many you want to get each week. I'm on the 6 plan. So I get 6 per week. You can go up to 18 and it allows you to choose, hey, I'm going to be in town this week. I want to eat at least one a day especially when you're a stay-at-home guy like me, as far as eating in and where I work and office out of. Very, very good stuff. No prep, no mess. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning needed. We've done the math, and they say sign up and save. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off. I really can't say enough about them and what they do. It's kind of changed the way I eat here at the house during the day. Thanks for Factor Meals for sponsoring on Texas Football.
Man, that made me hungry.
It's really, really good.
I mean, yeah. The stuff is really, really good.
It doesn't stay in the refrigerator long. Hey, real quick, you don't have to bring it up, but I want to answer Antoine's questions. He always asks such good questions. That kid is going to be a high major prospect in basketball. He was asking about the Friendswood point guard, the young kid that's starting. Yeah, I gave a little run to on social media because he tore it up Saturday in a tournament.
Well, guys, I bet you the Texas coaches, they're getting hungry with spring break now coming to a close. Recruiting going to obviously heat back up along with spring ball. But what's the latest in recruiting? What are we expecting? That type of thing.
Yeah, I think so. There's Under Armour camp, combine, whatever you want to call it, camp series in Houston yesterday out at Planet Ford Stadium. I was not there because I had a trip scheduled for a long time with the kids. But I put that camp together. I still do some things like that. So I helped put that camp together. I thought the wide receivers, from everything I was told yesterday, talking to people close to it, Kelshon Johnson, Khalik Lock, and Andrew Marshall had really good days. I think Kelshon moved so fluidly, so easily for a guy who's never really trained at the wide receiver position like some other guys have, right? We've talked about it before, how he just goes from football to basketball, and they play late. They won state again last week. Congrats to Hitchcock. They won 2-3-A titles in a row. And then you go into track, right? So he's late getting in the track. He never really trains. He's that small-town kid, Jelani McDonald, Kobe Black. Those guys that come from those smaller programs that have to play all sports for their school and are key members of that. So he's raw, but, man, can he go. He has the ability to create a lot of separation. Khalik Lockett, just the link, that getting off the line, getting off the ball, getting off of jams. I mean, he's got really good feet. He's got great body control. Andrew Marsh is just a smooth guy. You know, he's smooth player, wide receiver. Lance Jackson probably stole the show a little bit yesterday for Bobby and myself. I mean, Lance Jackson, when I was at Pleasant Grove a few weeks ago, was 6'5" and a half. he said 255, 260, right? So 6'6", 263 is kind of what what's been reported he came in at yesterday. That does not surprise me. And if you watch him move in person, it also doesn't surprise you what he looked like yesterday in the reps that you can find on social media. The one thing, my takeaway from spending quite a bit of time talking with him and the Pleasant Grove staff that day I was there was how mature of a kid he is. So the guys with that maturity, he's learned a lot, right? It's the simple thing that you never really see, Bobby, but above the shoulders in a stance as a pass rusher, as a defensive lineman, in a 3 or 4 point stance, the majority of guys you see, the shoulders are above the butt in the stance and they come off high. Lance Jackson at 6'6", 263 was not coming off the snap high. So he has explosive quick, power to speed, and could close. That's an elite guy.
Let me ask you this. This is what I – look, we've been talking about Lance Jackson and how we thought he might be should be a five-star from the very start of this. It's been 3 months now, Jerry, since he committed to Texas almost. We've been talking about that the whole time. If he doesn't go down to Houston from Texarkana during his baseball season.
Which says something, yes.
Yes, it does. But if he doesn't do that and go down there and play and participate, he may be a four-star because nobody else is going to take the time to go to Texarkana and watch him.
Yeah.
Okay? And I just want to point this out. He's not a better player today than he was yesterday.
No.
At all. He's the same guy. And so I think that's where recruiting rankings can fall short. The small school guys that they're just not going to get out to see. Because why are you going to go to Texarkana? I mean, Texarkana, you could go to 4 games in Dallas in a weekend.
Right.
Hard to get to more than one in Texarkana, you know? And so my point being, I guess, is he's not a better player than he was yesterday, but he's as good as we thought he was.
And by the way, Bobby, to your point, as much talent as there is in that Texarkana, whether it's at Texas High, moves around a little bit, Liberty ILO, Pleasant Grove, you know, there's a lot of talent up there, but it doesn't get all the foot traffic in recruiting. Right. To your point.
It's
to your point. You can be really good there and be underrated or under-recruited even. I gave Kalik Lockett credit yesterday on our Longhorn live stream, and we need to give Lance Jackson a lot of credit. Now, some of that was baseball. He couldn't make it to Dallas last weekend. Baseball, right? He throws 95 off the mound, which, again, goes to his overall athleticism, dexterity, maturity, understanding. He's one of those guys that just understands sports, and he's very talented doing it. But Kalik Lockett couldn't make the Dallas Under Armour was a week ago because he had a visit. Well, he drives down to Houston and competes. He doesn't need to do it. He's got an offer from everybody. So you like that. Those are the things you look at and say, that guy just checked a very important box. Even if you're a casual Kalik Lockett recruiting fan, you're like, whoa, okay. That guy drove down from Dallas. You got to leave your house at 5 in the morning, right? You get down there about 9:30, 10 check-in. You got to stretch. You know, those aren't easy mornings for kids. I'll never forget Jamarion Miller did that one summer for an Under Armour camp that was moved during COVID to Oklahoma, and that added an hour and a half to his drive. He left at 4 a.m. to come up to that camp. He didn't need to go, but he went out there and competed. So Lance Jackson makes the longest trip of anybody from Texarkana down to Spring, Texas, and he arguably was the top guy there. So Kalik Lockett, Lance Jackson, it goes to their competitive nature a little bit yesterday.
He's just a freak, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That you don't go on the mound and throw 95 and then go have, 15 sacks on Friday nights. And
Bobby, if he stopped playing edge tomorrow and said, I want to be a tight end, the top 3 tight end in the country.
Yeah.
That's it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Speaking of Lance Jackson, living rent-free, in UT, says, was Thrill graduating and Burt/Moore a possibility for entering the draft early? Could Jackson be a contributor his freshman year?
I love your avatar there. That's a good looking avatar, living free. I think that's possible. I'm not buying this Ethan Burt to the NFL next year. I'm just not buying it. He needs more physical development, even after another good year. He's not a three and done. I know some people have predicted that. However, if it were to happen, then you've got Colin Simmons. You've got Darian Gillette potentially moving to edge at that point. Justice Finkley, Jamon Tapp. You've got some other guys. But do I think that Lance Jackson, out of all of those guys, would be the most natural strong side defensive end? I absolutely yes. do think he would be the most natural. He's got the most weight coming in. He's got the longest wingspan to hold down the fort on the outside run. He would definitely be a guy. Now, is he going to be physically ready for it? That's a question. He is supposed to be a midtermer, by the way, Jerry. He told us.
Yeah, well, he's going to decide that based on summer baseball.
Yeah.
From what he told me when I was at Pleasant Grove, because that is kind of a factor there. I mean, baseball money now is massive if you go in the first round out of high school.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying if you're throwing 95, 96 all spring and you go do it in this summer in some key tournaments. I mean, by the way, UT boy, I got to give him props. He said, Bobby, Lance Jackson reminds him of Julius Peppers. Not bad from a frame and athleticism standpoint. That's not a bad one. Good job, UT boy.
If he's that good, then Lord help us all. If he's that good, Texas has something special.
Hey, Bobby, real quick, Lemon Rent Free and UT says it's actually a Quinn Ewers hoodie that he got for Christmas.
Oh, nice. I like that a lot. That's a sweet-looking avatar.
Yep. We got lots of more questions here. We'll do some recruiting ones. And Antoine says, why is Bryson Washington catching passes during 7-on-7? Shouldn't he be reshaping his body and working on technique?
Yeah, great kid, love him. He's got to watch his weight in a big way. And look, maybe that may burn calories for him in a weird way. Okay, but he's really got to watch it. I mean, it's hard to play when you hit that 400-pound region. It's going to be tough for him. He needs to get down into the 360s.
And then our next question from David Williams says, I think I asked CJ this question, but what position do you think Michael Terry plays? I'm wondering if he'll grow enough to play tight end. It might be hard to not use him on offense.
Yeah, so he wants to play wide receiver based on what CJ said, his visit at Alamo Heights. So that's interesting because he doesn't fit the mold of receiver Texas recruits, Bobby, right off the bat. I mean, that's just the thing.
Kalik Lockett. I mean,
he's not, but Michael Terry is 6'2½, 210. Like, he doesn't have that slick, sleek wide receiver build that Sark recruits, right? Sark hadn't recruited a receiver. I mean, like Michael Terry, he's going to have a hard time not being 220 pounds. I mean, that to me, he's a tight end frame type of guy. Amari Nyblack, but if he doesn't want to be that, what is he? And then if you say, well, he can play safety. Well, I don't know. I mean, he's 210, 215. Some people say he's 218 right now. Okay. If he's already 6'2½, 218, I mean, that's tough to not weigh 230, 235 long term when you get in the college strength and conditioning program. My opinion is, what a Nyblack-ish type player is probably his best projection, because it's easy to say, oh, we'll just move him to linebacker. Okay, well, that's linebacker and running back are the two most instinctive positions on a football field to me. It was just like I used to fall victim to that early in my years in the business. Oh, just move him to linebacker. Nah, that doesn't really work. I mean, linebackers are kind of – the best linebackers are born linebackers. So that's an interesting question. I don't know if we have the answer. I think that Michael Terry wants to play receiver. I'm not sure that will be a mix for Texas. Look at the guys they have coming in for official visits already at wide receiver. None of them are that body type. And Sark does not recruit that body type at wide receiver. Champ Bailey, I know it's early, 2026, Jakeem Stewart out of St. Aug. He's the next national guy. He's ranked top 10 in that 26 class out of St. Aug. There in New Orleans, where Leonard Fournette, Tyrann Mathieu, a number of other guys have come out of. I think LSU leads. Texas is one of those schools that'll get him on campus multiple times. He's been on campus once before. But I think
you know, look, with Frank Wilson and Corey Raymond and Bo, that's a little different recruiting animal you're going against at LSU now for a top kid in state.
It looks to me like LSU. I mean, LSU's having a whale of a recruiting year right now, first of all. Hey, Jerry, I think you're getting some feedback by having another browser open or something. The question I have for both of you guys as it relates to Jakeem Stewart, he's a defensive lineman out of St. Aug, is, you know, is Texas getting more, and more for you, Jerry, is Texas getting more value or more promotion, I guess, is the best way to put it, out of being so good last year with the 2026 class? We know it's taken already with the 2025 class, but are you already seeing some of that with the 26 guys too?
Yeah. So I think Texas is going to get about every kid they want on campus. To me, that's the key. Is I think they're just going to get full evaluations on more guys. If you look at the January 20th junior day, which you call it junior day, so you're thinking 25s, the 26s that came on campus were unbelievable. I mean, for that early in the year. You're going to have a lot of those 26s coming on campus in April. John Turntine III, who you guys know what I think about him, the offensive tackle out of North Crowley. He's elite guy at left tackle prospect. But I think you're going to see Texas get a lot of these young kids on campus. That's what happens, the beating Bama, that making it to the college football playoff. And Sark hasn't even really started selling the draft success yet. He will in about a month and a half, right? But I think you're going to see Texas get a lot of those kids on campus this summer, probably more than we've seen before.
Bobby, you mentioned Kalik Lockett a little bit ago. E. Kim says, is Lockett a good consolation prize in case more signs with another program?
I don't know about consolation prizes. I'm not into those. It's like a – you know, it used to be this, oh, the cow and the calf kind of conversation, Jerry, that we always had. If two players are tied together, Lockett's not tied to anyone. Some people have him rated as a 5-star. It's not a consolation prize. Texas, I think, frankly, is beyond that at this point, if you want to know the truth. They're not recruiting consolation prizes. Steve, if we've been taught anything, Steve Sarkisian refuses to take a consolation prize. He'll just take another swing at a different player. That's my opinion on him and what he does.
I'll say this: the receivers that Texas has coming in for official visits are as impressive as you'll find. I mean, to me, I don't care. I mean, like, I think Kelshon Johnson's better than if he's ranked 200 in the country. I don't really even care. I go on what I see. I think when you look at it, you know, look, DeCorian Moore is going to make a visit to Texas, and we all know that. It's just. So you say DeCorian Moore will visit, Kalik Lockett, Jamie French, who I think is sitting there in between A.D. Mitchell and C.D. Lamb. I think he's better than A.D. Mitchell after the catch, not feet on fire like C.D. Lamb. I think Jamie French is tremendous. And then you get to Andrew Marsh, who's coming in, Marcus Harris from Modern Day, who's a good player. I'm not even sure I like him as much as the guys in Texas. But you start looking at that list of guys that are going to officially visit Texas at the wide receiver position. And I know we have some guys that say, don't only take two, go get the guys out of the portal. But let's just say Texas takes three wide receivers in this class. It's going to be a tremendous wide receiver class for Texas, no matter who those three guys are.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, y'all, we got a couple more recruiting questions here, and then we will move on, talk about some spring ball, all that good stuff. And Horn 7 says, when coaches prioritize the kid, what does that mean?
Oh, that means they get the special TLC, Horn 7. That means they're the ones that they're paying the most attention to, contacting the most, asking to come in the most, trying to set up special things, going to see more often than other players. That's what it means.
So for instance, this. So April 6th is a big visit weekend for Texas. you'll see a lot a lot of your commitments, guys like KJ Lacy. You're going to see a lot of top targets in 25 coming in. So this is a priority, a prioritized recruit. Michael Fasusi's not coming in that weekend, can't, whatever. He's coming in April 9th with his family. Texas is saying, whenever you want to come in here, you just get here with your family. You just come here, spend the whole day with us. That's prioritizing a recruit.
Good example, Jerry. Very good example.
One more.
And now he's in NIL. All right, let's keep going.
One more recruiting question from Jay Smooth. Good morning, fellas. Any word on Chad Woodfort? I read communication might have stopped with him. Is there any reason for that? Also, do you have any news on Morgan from South Oak Cliff? Hook him.
Yeah, so I think with January 20th, Texas, that edge position hadn't really even started to begun to take shape. I think that was the position where I was, at least me, I was looking around saying, okay, this guy, okay, let's see how this is going to shake out. It's coming off January evaluations on the road, right? And Texas still had more of those after January 20th. Obviously, had another week or 10 days on the road. But Hayden Lowe was not a name on the edge list at that time. Lance Jackson was not a commitment at that time. Okay, so you have Lance Jackson in the boat, who obviously is going to be about as highly ranked as any of them outside Elijah Griffin in Savannah, Georgia. But so now you have Hayden Lowe out of Westlake Village there, the Oaks Christian High School, who's coming in April 6th and June 14th through 16th for an official visit. That's telling to what Texas is thinking at edge with him. Johnny Nansen and Pete Kwiatkowski went out to see him in January, both of those guys. So that was a name January 20th. He'd been offered, but Texas offers a lot of guys. When are they going to get to campus? How is that? What's the next steps in the recruitment? Now you have a guy like Hayden Lowe. Then you have Damian Shanklin, who I think Notre Dame's a pretty decent-sized leader for out of Warren Central in Indianapolis. He was a guy that, if you look down the list, various list of all the players Texas has offered, he was on there. But at that time, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski goes by that school. Texas intrigues him now. It's Notre Dame, it's Tennessee, it's Texas for his official visits. He's probably got a couple others set now, Ohio State, Michigan, people like that. But Texas is now getting an official visit June 21st through 23rd with one of the top edge guys in the country out of Indianapolis. So that's one position that's really started to take shape late January, February, and early in the March here. But I'll say this too, guys, Bobby, we've been saying this. Spring evaluation period is also going to be key. Even now, you see 32 guys set up for official visits, I believe the number is, maybe up to 33 now. Spring evaluation period is also going to be key. You could see two or three guys added. You've seen some of those Florida offers recently by Kenny Baker. But then that further evaluation, just because there's 10 offensive linemen that have official visits right now, doesn't mean they're all going to be prioritized to that last question the same way they are now as they will be starting June.
Look, they're not taking guys unless they know they want them right now.
Yeah.
And so if Chad Woodfork is trying to make a decision earlier or trying to push a decision, Texas is going to wait a little bit on certain guys. And they just are. And so I don't make anything of it. There are also guys that may have higher upside longer term.
Yeah.
But they're waiting to see how they progress. The defensive end out of Vandegrift in Austin, Jerry, has not got an offer from Texas. He may have as much upside as any defensive end in the state.
Yeah.
With other than Lance Jackson, probably. So, but he hasn't been offered. Point being, we got to watch some of this. That's what Steve Sarkisian is trying to do. He could go out, right? Literally, Texas could have 20 commitments right now.
That's right, no doubt.
If they would have pushed the button and tried to hotbox these guys, it's what Jimbo – and that's not – hotboxing players isn't necessarily a bad tactic, by the way. I'm not condemning that because people have done it and coaches have done it successfully for decades. Sark doesn't do that. Not at this point in time. He wants it to be a long-term thing, and he wants to make sure he's signing them in December or February. He's not trying to get rushed to a decision in January, February, March. So, I think Texas is set up exceedingly well at defensive end in particular. You mentioned Hayden Lowe. Looking at some other guys on the list. They're in good shape. And that's why, one of the reasons why Somebody had put in a crystal ball for Chad Woodfort to Texas a long time ago, Jerry, and you were like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
And it's because of the prioritization. It's because of who else is out there. And when you get Lance Jackson to commit early, kind of play the field a little bit too, if you're only going to take two.
We've had questions about the Michigan DTs. is it Mason Graham or Kenneth Grant if they both jumped in the portal? Which one would Texas want more? I mean,
both.
I mean, both is the answer. Mason Graham is probably the higher draft pick.
Yeah, but Grant is the bigger one.
Yeah.
And they need a zero more than they need a three right now. But the thing with both of those guys, they're both disruptors. Yeah. So you take them both. Those are elite players, period, to Jerry's point. So it's not an either or with those guys. Texas is going to look for two guys in the portal at defensive tackle if they can get them. If they can get them. UCLA as well.
Yeah,
that could be a possibility. I'm just talking about guys that are getting monitored, not done. It's like Captain Americano said, all these people are saying, oh, Michigan fans are going nuts on our YouTube channel saying, oh, y'all are, this is tampering, et cetera. No, it's not. I mean, it's your defensive line coach that you've had for 10 days just got suspended for a DUI, or what looks like a DUI, I guess, or allegedly. You've changed defensive line coaches. You've changed defensive coordinators. You've changed head coaches. Look, you did just win a national championship, but there's a but there. You know, you're also not hyper competitive in an NIL, by the way, a Michigan fans. So that changes things as well.
Hey guys, Bobby, I want you to talk about a couple of things. Number one, a new show premiering this week. Let's start there. Can you tell folks about that?
Very excited about this. So you guys know Rod Babers is on Texas Football and has been. He and Bob Shipley and CJ Vogel are starting their own show on Texas Football. It's called The Winning Drive. So it's going to be from about 4:15 to 5:30 on Mondays and Thursdays. Catch it. It may end up being an everyday show, kind of like this, if we get the viewership there. Mondays and Thursdays, The Winning Drive with Rod, Bob Shipley, CJ Vogel. It'll be everything from the football team to sports around the university, as well as recruiting with CJ there, being able to talk about it. So please give them a shout today. It'll be their premiere episode today at around 4:15 today. So I'm excited for those guys. They're really excited for it. We got a nice little logo for them and everything that they're ready to debut. Please, if you would, show them some support. I think we wanted to do this around spring ball too, because we think there might be more news popping, et cetera, around this time, as well as the NFL draft coming up. So it's a lot of stuff. Portals coming up, recruiting coming up, all of that stuff. It's going to be more focused on that kind of thing for Longhorn fans. Think it should be really, really good as we run into this kind of neighborhood of more and more info coming out. The second thing I want to mention is we do have a bracket challenge for everybody out there. Blake, have you got that link signed?
I just posted it in the chat. I made it a very, very simple URL. It's a little bit easier than the long ESPN one. So head on over to it and join us. And let's see who comes out on top.
All right. The winner of the bracket challenge is going to get a prize. I've got to talk to Jerry and guys to figure out what that prize is going to be, but the winner of the bracket challenge will get some on Texas football, some kind of gear or something, or we'll just go buy you some Texas gear if you like Texas gear
instead. Or Tyrese Hunter autographed basketball.
Yeah, there we go. We'll figure it out, but we're going to do that. So please feel free to enter that competition with us. We're all going to play as well. So let's have some fun with it.
That's right.
Jim Leffler asked a question. That new show name is The Winning Drive.
4:15 to 5:30, Monday and Thursday, premieres today.
It started at 4:05, so it could be 4th and 5. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't think about that until just now, though. But it's called The Winning Drive. Hope those guys are going to have fun with it. They really are.
Like Missouri should have the show that's 5th and 5.
Not many people remember that, Jerry.
Yeah.
Not many people remember that. Missouri beat Colorado on a fifth down play.
The bracket real quick. Trace says, will you guys share your brackets? I believe you can actually go and see what everybody picked. When you sign up and do your bracket, you can look at other people's, if I remember correctly.
I think CJ and Jerry may go into that a little bit more in depth. They know these teams much better than I do, for sure. That would be a good thing for CJ and Jerry to do.
Hey, Bobby, what's the drop dead day for LHN's? Archmania is asking that. I'm not sure I've seen that.
June, I thought. Okay. I thought it was early. It's all the way through this season. I talked to someone about that last week. They're gonna play it as normal until the very last day. So they're not closing shop or cutting people or any of that stuff until it's over.
Well, we're going to talk about spring ball and all of that jazz here in just a second. But, Bobby, before we do that, can you tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group?
Yeah, I absolutely can. John's a good friend of the program here at On Texas Football. He is the president of Longhorn Wealth Management. John has a long history with UT, and he wants to help fellow Longhorn alums, employees, family, and friends. That's why he dedicated his firm to doing so. Longhorn Wealth wants to wish the best of luck to both our men's and women's basketball teams as they prepare to enter the NCAA tournament this week. We hope they both advance as far as possible in their respective brackets. Speaking of advancing, Longhorn Wealth wants to offer a free 90-minute consultation to you to advance your own future family financial success. Please call John and his team at Longhorn Wealth at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation to explore how they can help you achieve true financial independence. John, thanks for everything you've done for us, bud, and appreciate you. Give him a call, guys, if you're looking for a financial advisor, 972-707-4900.
Ryan Nelson, great comment there. Totally agree.
What was the comment?
Jerry, imagine what Sark can promote if Byron Murphy is the first defensive player drafted in April. Do y'all see that happening?
Man, I don't know. I would take him over the DB from Iowa. I know that people aren't going to hear that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some spring ball here, as we said at the beginning of the show, about less than 24 hours away. And let's start with Trace Crutchfield's comment or question. Who's on tomorrow's first look body watch list beyond Sadir, Savion, and Quint? Wild card interest in comparing Savia and Bledsoe, both at 293.
It's an interesting one. Yeah. I think DJ Campbell. DJ Campbell down 11 pounds, even though it doesn't seem like a lot, 343 to 332 on a roster. I mean, that means he's put in some work.
You want him getting quicker.
Yes.
He gets a tad quicker. We'll use the term force multiplier. That's kind of what I think of with him. You get him quicker, Jerry, he's already mean enough and nasty enough, right? He's already got that. Cam Williams will be on body watch. You mentioned Anthony Hill. Here's one. How about Maurice Blackwell?
Yeah.
David Benda.
Yeah.
Those two, right? Because, you know, right now, the second linebacker is David Benda, with a possible third linebacker being Mo Blackwell or Leonga LaFau, right? The other piece is all of those guys that are sophomores. I mean, those are the ones, like Ethan Burke's body from freshman to sophomore year was, you could tell that he had gained a year of experience. Baron Sorrell was the same way. I'm interested in that freshman to sophomore jump as much as anything. And one of the guys you mentioned there, Sadir Mitchell, is one of those.
And then our next question, fellas, is a super chat from Freelance Society, if I can bring it up here. And he says, on Texas football, doing anything for the spring game, like a tailgate, meetup, what is it?
I'm going down today, and I'm going to try to set that up. So let's keep that in mind. I'm going to try to get that done. There's been some people that have talked about it with us and want to do it, whether it's a venue that serves some free adult, or not free, but some adult beverages, or another place where we can get together, one or the other, and have a tent, et cetera. We'll figure that out. But I'm on the case.
And by the way, the DJ Campbell talk, you know why I think it's big for him this spring and to take that big step next year, last year, year one starter? Because when he looks to his right this in 2024, he has a first-year starter next to him. Last year, he had the most experienced lineman in the program to his right. This year, he's got to help the least experienced starting lineman in the program. That's why it's huge for DJ Campbell to take that big step from year one to year two.
And let's see here. Going back to the OTF deal, Todd Bregman says, I was wondering, is OTF going to stream the spring game or anything like a post-spring game video?
Well, we'll do a watch with us for the spring game for sure. But I don't, there's certain things we're allowed to do and not do, obviously, because of our lack of, you know, real rights to the footage. We are going to have some stuff going on, though, tomorrow, I guess, officially. Jerry and I will be doing this show, by the way, from the parking lot adjacent to the practice fields. That's our plan for tomorrow morning. We're coming correct for that. So we'll do that. And then also we have tomorrow morning after that, Jerry and I are going to get on and do a live stream real quick about what we saw tomorrow morning or what we see tomorrow morning. So, and spring ball is not open to the public, Brendan. It has not been for 20 plus years. Mac did it for a couple of years and then cut it. And that's been the last time it's been public.
Hey, going back to the Longhorn Network deal, I just got this on Twitter. Wanted to share from Tim Samuels. He said, I read a report Longhorn Network will sunset on June 30th. So that backs up what you were saying earlier, Bobby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, guys. When do the pads come on is what Horn 7 wants to know.
I think it'll be Saturday's practice or Monday's. Does that sound right, Jerry?
Yeah, I think it may be Saturday.
Okay.
And then Horn 7 also wants to know, do we get player and coach availability with the media?
Yeah, absolutely. So tomorrow, Steve Sarkisian is going to meet with the media. We'll be there, obviously. And then Thursday, we get access to players. So that's how they're segmented over time. That's how John Bianco and Thomas Stepp and the sports information staff have historically done it as well. But don't forget, we also have Pro Day on Wednesday. Yep. So we'll be there as well. And one thing I would say about Pro Day, I expect some younger guys to participate a little bit. Jerry has mentioned Quinn Ewers throwing at Pro Day. There's going to be some other guys, young guys, hanging around watching.
I don't know the numbers. Is it five guys? Is that five? We need to look that up. If five are allowed, or is it more now? I think it's. I think five used to be the number of five underclassmen could take part in a pro day. We need to find out the answer to that.
Gotcha.
And this will, Bobby, I know we got to get out of here, but one more question. This last one here from E. Kim. Do you see any players improving their stock at Pro Day?
But fingers crossed, Jalen Ford and Jordan Whittington. Those two guys, Jordan has not been healthy. He needs to run really, really well. I think he'll do it well on every other drill, Jerry.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Ford, man, it's put up or shut up time for him. I think that there are mocks that don't have him going in seven rounds right now, because of his lack of workout at the combine. And he didn't have a great senior year. So,
For sure. By the way, we've had some comments. A&M faces Nebraska in the first round of the tournament. That is kind of funny with Trev Alberts heading to A&M as the AD.
I love it. The NCAA does that. Like, look, Texas would play Rick Barnes in the second round, potentially, of the NCAA tournament. In the basketball tournament alone, Caden Shedrick might play Virginia.
Yeah.
Right? Caden Shedrick obviously transferred from Virginia to Texas. And then if Colorado State wins, Texas would be playing Colorado State in both football and basketball in the same calendar year this year.
Yeah.
Well, I love how the NCAA, they kind of tweak it a little bit. It seems like just enough to make it interesting.
Well, and on the, I'll tell you where they definitely did that is on the women's side of the bracket. South Carolina and Iowa wouldn't play in the Final Four if Caitlin Clark gets that far. The only way they play is in the national championship. Don't think that was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
If Caitlin Clark, the ideal world for women's college basketball would be South Carolina undefeated versus Caitlin Clark in her last college game. I don't know if I will get there because they've had a little injuries in the post. But I will also say this, though. Okay, so for those that don't know, I was out in Phoenix over the weekend and some family time. Caitlin Clark, there were women wearing her shirt in the airport last night.
Really?
Yeah, they sell the cake. You got to give her credit. What she's done for her game, pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Whether you like women's basketball or not, whether you like Caitlin Clark or not, whether you ever watched an NBA game, WNBA game or not, the fact that girls, women are wearing Caitlin Clark shirts around, name the last time you saw it in women's basketball at the college level.
Yeah, period. What women's jersey other than Taylor's? Other than Taylor's, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but what women's jersey have I ever seen a woman wear?
Yeah.
I mean.
Pretty interesting. Yeah. E. Kim asked, how was the hockey game? Yeah, I went to the Coyotes New Jersey Devils game, and I'd never been to a pro hockey game before, and I did want to go set third row, so I was close enough to feel the hits. And there wasn't a lot. There was only one fight, you know, so I didn't get my money's worth. Guy was literally sitting next to me, caught a puck, and I'm glad he did, else it might have got me a couple of stitches on my ear. It was a blast. Pro hockey for me, I mean, after being there, and everybody's always told me this, is it may be the best, like, if you sit in the first 10 rows, it may be the best sport to go watch in person. And the guys are it's just like anything else. It's just like anything else. The athletes are only getting bigger, stronger, and faster in that sport too.
Did you go see the Rangers yesterday in spring ball?
Yeah, I did. Wyatt Langford, Blake.
He's all Kalani.
Cubs and yeah, Wyatt Langford is. If Rangers win the World Series and may have the best young player that nobody's heard of yet. They're starting to hear of. That's it's a good place to be for the Rangers. That guy's got a. That ball's a little different coming off his bat.
Yeah. Him and Evan Carter are both. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football, presented by Longhorn Wealth Management Group. We want to thank them along with Factor for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in for the super chats, the great questions. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com to continue the discussion. Obviously, read the breaking news or whatever else may be going on this week. You definitely want to get over there as spring ball starts up tomorrow, along with the pro day, as Bobby said, in 2 days. So be sure to check that out. And then don't forget, I put the link in the chat one last time to fill out your bracket. Obviously, you got a couple of days to do so, but you might as well get on it now. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
We'll be in the